God is good. Good to have Pastor Mark and Missy back. Amen. So, oftentimes when you go on vacation like that, you got to come home and rest from your vacation now, especially if you have children, right, Pastor Mark? Amen. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and give you all the praise for this morning. We just thank you for your worship. We thank you for your presence that's rolling in on this place. We thank you, Lord, that you have begun a mighty move of your Spirit. And we know, Lord God, that we are a part of not just something local, but of worldwide and a nationwide, a revival that's coming across the land. God will have the last word. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've titled the message today, it's On the Inside. And it's a subject matter that's dear to me, and is something that I have preached for years, but I haven't preached one in a long time, and so I put this together, hoping that it will bless you and will affect your life. I titled it, What is on the Inside, but I also have a little subtitle I put on there, and I just want to read it to you, because when I said this to my wife, she says, well, that's the whole message. So I said, well, I'll just read it and sit down then. Okay. But here it is. What you are looking for on the outside, you can find it on the inside. What you're looking for on the outside, you can find it on the inside. The substance of a person's life is determined by the content and the condition of their heart. Everything in our life, everything stems from the inside and the condition of our hearts, amen, will determine the quality of life that we have. Proverbs 4:23, New American Standard says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And I want us to understand that oftentimes we're looking for things to come into us. And it's exactly the reverse of what God wants. See, God's looking for something that's going to come out of us. We're looking for something to come into us. And what we need to realize is that the condition of a heart determines the outflow of life, of everywhere we go. There's a miracle and a mystery that was hid for ages and generations. And that mystery simply is this: which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How many of you know that we have a nation full of hopelessness? Everywhere I go, I hear hopelessness. What's the use? What's this? And I'm here to say to you, church, that is contrary to what God has for the church. We should never be around looking for hope, trying to deal with hopelessness, because the hope of glory. Well, Colossians 1:27, New King James says this, to them God will make known what are the true riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we need to start understanding now that there is something that has transpired inside of us that the world is waiting for to come out. We need to stop waiting for the world to come to us, and we need to come out and take what we have to the world. Living a quality life comes from the innermost part of a man. The truth must be revived and restored within the hearts of every single believer. That the innermost part of our being is the determination of who we are and what we are and how our lives are. You can be in the midst of a storm and be the joy of the Lord flowing out of you. There is a perception that if the outside of a man, I want you to hear this because we deal with this all the time, there's perception in our culture that if the outside of the man looks pretty good and all right and everything looks good, that the inner quality must also be good. Jesus addressed the religious leaders about the outside and inside condition of their lives in Luke 11, 39 in New American Standard. And it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'How you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness.'" We're dealing with something on the inside. It's a poison that's wrapping through the church and America. And that is, we have lies like the Pharisees. We're dealing with everything looks good. As long as it looks good, it's all cool. But inside, there's a rottenness. There's something happened. And the believers need to get a hold of this. Because in verse 40, it says, "You foolish one, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?" And so what we need to start concerning ourselves is that maybe we should spend less time concerning ourselves what's on the outside. Because God made the outside. He's in charge of that. But he also made the inside of every one of our lives. And I think it's an area I see people, Christians, pastors, ministry, who one fire time on fire for God, and all of a sudden they're not there anymore. It's because they served God from an external point of view, and it wasn't coming from the inside. Amen? There's a major and false narrative in culture that if one can change the exterior of their lives or their situations, it will result in a greater degree of happiness and prosperity and spirituality. If I can just change what's on the outside, everything will be all right. That's a false narrative. Because if you change something on the outside, you just change the outside. But there's no root of what flows on the inside. Mankind has learned to address issues of life by changing their exterior conditions. Changing their presentations. How many times do we change our styles because we want to feel better on the inside? How many times do we go to the store and buy something because we want to feel better on the inside? How many times do we change our style, or do we try to change our circumstances? We change our relationships just to make me feel better inside, because I don't really get along with that group of people. So if I just change my relationships, everything will be all right inside. The problem is you bring what's inside to the new relationship. If I could just change my church, my spirituality be all right. If I just change, my atmosphere. If I just play a different music, a different song, a different worship thing, I'll be all right inside. It's false narrative. And here's the last one I want to say to you before we move on. If I can just change my circumstances, I'll change my spirituality. I'll be more pleasing to God if I change what my circumstances are. If I change something, maybe it will affect my relationship with God. And God's looking, everything is external. God says, I don't want all that stuff. I don't want it. Psalm 51, it says that God does not take pleasure in bulls and physical sacrifices, but what he wants is a broken heart and a contrite. Amen? Come on. He wants something different than what we think we ought to offer. If I come to church with a great presentation, it does not make me more spiritual. See, there's a problem with this perception, because it is opposite and it is contrary to the Word of God. Amen? His process of changing a person's life is always from the inside. Always. I know we hear this scripture 1,001 times, but Holy Spirit, may we actually capture the truth of this. Ezekiel 36:26, it says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone and your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You will be careful to observe all my ordinances. So, you see, we're trying to observe God's word and in ordinances from a life that is dictated from the outside in. And that's why the first thing that happened when you got saved and met Jesus Christ is he gave you a new spirit. He gave you a new heart. And he transformed you in the core of your being. Isn't that awesome? See, a change from the outside on one's life can only change what is around them. And it's always temporary. Where the internal spiritual transformation is full of life, permanent and everlasting. Church, I know I'm saying things you probably heard 1,000 times, but what's coming is very, very important that we capture what I'm saying here today. Because when the revival comes, it will determine whether you flow in it or run from it. See, without a divine intervention, a person's life will be shaped and molded by external forces. We will determine the quality of a church service by the quality of what we walk inside in. Or the quality of worship. Did the prayer go good today? Or was the preaching good today? We tend to allow. And so without a divine invitation, we are molded and shaped by external forces. We are shaped by what we see. We are shaped by what we walk into. External forces are defined as influences and pressures and controls that come from the outside, and they penetrate our very beings. They affect our nature. How many of you watch the news and not have your nature affected in our nation today? I won't get down there. We'll leave that alone. It affects your beliefs. It affects, my dear beloved, if the outside internal forces are running your life, it affects how you think. Are you victorious? Well, the world says no, so I guess I'm not. Or the world says, I measure my life by this standard, which is not a God standard. And so I'm a failure if I don't reach that standard. God says, no, I put the standard within you. And if you just go what my standard is, all that stuff will not mold and shape your heart and spirit. Some examples of the forces could be a spirit of religion. How about cultural pressures? Don't mention Jesus anywhere you go. In fact, one of the greatest, you don't hear this on the news, of course, the greatest persecuted forces or group of people today are Christians. But that shouldn't determine what we are and what we do. It should just bring strength in our inner beings. So examples are the spirit of religion or culture pressures or circumstances, family influences also from the outside. How many of you actually feel sometimes you're molded and shaped in your spirituality by how your family thinks about you? I know I'm hitting home, so just hang in there with me. You see, how about career changes? Is my inside affected by what I do during my job? Is who I am what I do, or who I am in Christ because I'm in who I am inside? Or am I identified because of my job? Is that controlling me? Is that controlling my spirituality? Amen? You see, external forces, the inner man is shaped and molded by external forces. There will be a belief in that person that they can live independent of God. I want you to hear this now because it's very important. Once the inner man is shaped and molded by external forces, they will take a belief that they can live independent from God. Are you with me? That's why there's many churches having awesome church services, awesome times, the best worship in the world, best preaching, best television programs. And they were all convinced that they can do it on what they produced, not what God is doing. You see, it's important that we understand that if you feel that you can exist independent of God without coming to Him every day, that desperate for Him, being in His Word, praying, if you believe that you can exist without that, external forces have shaped your life. But if we every day have a hunger and longing and thirsting just to talk to Him when I get up in the morning, wouldn't that change everything? You see, when that happens, when one feels that they can live independent from God, the one ultimately is surrendered to their flesh and to the enemy, being controlled and manipulated and governed by those external forces that seek to destroy with destruction, bring in captivity and bondage, create strongholds, and continue to separate man from God. Do you think that's happening in our culture today? How many people really believe that we don't even need God anymore? I'm sad to say there's a lot of churches that actually don't even believe that anymore. We just go on and do our thing. And God's after something, my beloved. Beloved, I want to say this to you. Revival is coming. Listen to me. It's coming. But I want you to be ready for something. See, revival, when it comes, is the revelation and the restoration of God's intentions, will, and desire, and it begins in the heart of man and is revealed by Holy Spirit from the flow of the inside out. Now, I'm not discounting all the external manifestations of Holy Spirit. My wife and I, we've been in it. We've been used in it. We've seen supernatural moves of God. But there was a church, huge church, had revival hit this church. It was known all over the world. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. I want you to hear this very important point. And the pastor, we were at the conference, and the pastor got up and shared with the pastors, and he says, "Do you know that my elders prayed for years for revival? And one day, revival came. And half my elders left the church because they couldn't handle the external manifestation of the move of God because they never allowed the external or the internal move of Holy Spirit in their hearts." In other words, revival never caught half of those elders' hearts. And so when the actual manifestation, which everybody's seeking for, everybody's looking for, I'd like to walk in here and see, boom, I like to see lightning, I like to see power and might. And we will see it one day. But if it doesn't start here, it will destroy you. That's strong. See, revival always comes in the hearts of His people. I've studied revival for years. It's my favorite thing in the hearts. And some of the major revivals come because one old lady prayed for years. Nobody knows about her. And she prayed in a revival. Why? Because revival first got a hold of her. In the spirit and in the heart. And so half this man's elders won. This turned out to be a revival that shook the world, called Brownsville. You see, we are seeking for many things outside. I want to see the power of God. And your pastor is spot on in this. I want to see all the manifestations. I want to see the healings, Pastor. I want to see all this. But the first of all I want to see is the transformation of the heart of the church. Because we cannot sustain an outward manifestation without the inward protection and preparation of revival. We can't sustain it. Oh, maybe that's why we're not seeing it all yet. Because we refuse to be driven by the inside and stop being controlled by the outside. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. I'm going to read this. I'm going to tie something in on it in the New King James Version. It says, "But it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit," who? The Spirit, not theology, not churches, not all the greatest TV thing, nothing. Amen? But the Spirit searches, yes, the deep things of God. But what man know the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is where? Inside. Stop looking outside for your identity. I got that out. Even so, one knows that things of God except, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, external, but we received, what? The Spirit who is from God, which is inside. We might know these things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words of men's wisdoms, teachings, but with Holy Spirit teachings, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Church, today we stop taking the external manifestation of things and comparing it with the spiritual inside is the day the war stops inside of our beings. Because there's a war inside every one of us. Spirit of the world's trying to influence us, and the Spirit of God says, I got you. Verse 14 says, but the natural man... Some people, you might wonder why I have so much problems understanding the things of God. For the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know him, because they are spiritually discerned. We, church, must get the natural, external approach to our relationship with God. We must get it out of our spirit. We must start to become disciples of Christ again. Realizing, I'm not saying divorcing from the world and not being out there. No, don't go down that road, because that's it's either or. No, it's not. It's spiritual, and then you affect everything else on the outside. Amen? So I reached the point, amen, that so what is inside of you? What is it? Because once you discover that, you'll discover who you are. Once you identify who is really inside of you, you'll identify your true identity that God sent you on this earth to do. So I'll say this again. What you are looking for on the outside, yeah, you can find it on the inside. Yeah, it's there. Each believer must accept, believe, and embrace and activate that which God has placed inside of us, each believer. How do I do that? Pray. Well, I haven't got time for that. Well, then you don't want to know who you are. I'm sorry. I'm not going to play games with it. I've walked this thing too long. Okay? Every excuse you give is an external excuse why you can't embrace the internal changing of what God wants in your heart and life. Yeah. Many go to and fro. Now listen to me, I'm going to have some fun with this. Many run to and fro to experience the presence and power of Holy Spirit. to and fro. What's the latest thing happening down at XYZ Church? Let's all go because we want to experience something external. Let's all run around. People running all over the place trying to find Holy Ghost. Running all over the place. Running all over the place. Nothing's ever, oh, that place doesn't have a Holy Ghost. I'll run over this place. I'll play that one. I'll run over this place. And all along, we're looking external to what God has placed internal. 1 Corinthians 3:16, New American Standard. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if I have that basic elementary truth written in my spirit, why on earth am I running everywhere but Sunday instead of spending time trying to introduce myself to what's already inside me? All right? See, we tend to travel to another temple or another place. Let's find another temple where God is. Let's find another place where God is. And so we go place here and there, trying to discover Holy Spirit. When all along, He's already placed in the core of our being, residing inside. Say, I'm here, inside you. Why are you looking all around? When all you got to do is take a moment and sit with me. Many believers' time spent and resources checking out places and events and people demonstrate the manifestation of resurrection power. Never spend time to discover that the resurrection power actually is inside them. Oh, we're running around, running here, running there. How many, I know, Pastor Mark, you've never heard this. I'm tired. I'm burned out. I'm always going, never arriving. I'm just wore out. It's because you're looking on the outside, what has already been put on the inside. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, New American Standard puts it this way. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? In you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Maybe we need to stop running around looking for something and slow down and just accepting something, that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead sits in my being. Then why don't I feel it? Because you've never taken time to tap into it and release it through your being. See, we're looking for the external power of God. And all along, because see, that only lasts while you're there. If I capture the power of the resurrection inside me, is always with me. When I get up in the morning, I can feel Him. When I go to bed at night, oh, I think the Bible says I'm with you and you're coming in and you're coming out. Yes. Many people are reading all kinds of books to improve their mind. We go everywhere. You got to improve our mind. We got to get our thinking. And I'm not against education. I believe in it. But we got to go out and get all this teaching. I got to run here and get teaching. Run there and got to get teaching. I got to fill my mind with all kinds of five ways to hit get into the Holy Ghost. I got to fill my mind with all kinds of man's teachings. But we don't know. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ already in us." What are you talking about? The mind of Christ is already in you. We don't realize that our mind, our natural mind, is the most powerful force that is known to mankind except the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? And the mind that is put in you is infinitely more powerful than the mind that you have for yourself. We just need to stop listening to the voices on the outside and start to cultivate an ear to hear the voice of wisdom on the inside. You see, when the Holy Ghost came in you, the whole Holy Ghost came. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, anointing, power, might, spirit, presence, it all came inside you. So why do we keep looking on the outside? You see, I got to get something to you, because you see, once we understand that what we have on the inside, the springs of living water, the springs of spirituality, the springs of life, will start then to flow outside. Right now, we're flowing. I'm trying to be nice. Mixture, salt, water, plain, everything in the world feeds us. We are just spilling it out. And we want to know why people don't run to the church. Are we doing all right? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me what? But he's given me what? So when are we going to stop allowing the world to tell us our minds are squash? Particularly if you're a Christian, you don't know nothing. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah, male Christians, yeah, for sure. Are you with me? And so you see, have you really settled in your spirit that you have a sound mind? That means you got it. That means sound mind. I mean, I got the mind of Christ. How can I have anything better? Well, preacher XYZ said on television that if I do XYZ and do ABC, I'll gain everything. Except the preacher XYZ doesn't know the spirit inside you that God gave you what to do. He's just doing his thing. I'm not knocking preachers. They're all, we need them. I am one. But it's time we get our priorities straight. It's time we stop playing with this thing. If you will hear what I got to say to you, counseling will dry up. A lot of book sales will go down the drain. I got a problem. Go buy XYZ book and 13 steps how to solve your problem. Well, Holy Ghost, I got a problem. Do this. Problem solved. Oh, I didn't have to buy the book? Many believers are concerned about the ruling powers of government forces and whether they're the enemy or natural government controlling, influencing, taking charge of our lives. We're being consumed with that in America. We got a government that's falling apart because they turned their back on God. That's the only thing wrong with this country, folks. It's not Republican, Democrat. We turned our back on God. You don't kill 50 million babies and expect grace to continue to flow. But God is moving. He said, I'm doing something. There's a revival coming, and I'm going to start where man can't mess it up. I'm going to start where man can't spin what I want to have. I'm going to start this revival in the hearts of my people, and on the hearts of my people will then rise up in purity and then disseminate the spirit of revival. You see, I love our nation. I'm a patriot. I wore the United States uniform, Air Force. But I am first a citizen of the government of the kingdom of God. And no outside external government will rule me and my spirit. That's why I've shut the television off. Seriously. Because it's affecting my spirit, the lies and garbage and evil that's going through our nation right now. And God reminded me that you are not of this nation, but you are of a kingdom of righteousness, holiness, and purity. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, New King James says this, now when we asked by the Pharisees, now get this, because everybody's looking for what? External manifestation of what God wants. Are you hearing me? And the church is paralyzed because God's not doing anything. You ever heard that? Where's God moving? Oh, God help us. Verse 20 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here, or see there. For indeed, come on, church, the kingdom of God is within you. You have to understand that the kingdom of God, which is spiritual, has been put inside you to short-circuit your fleshly life and to take your allegiance to something external and bring your allegiance under the king of internal. Amen? Now, if this happens, then it will go and be external, but it will be spiritual. Amen. See, the Spirit, Scripture gives us a permanent and eternal solution to the rule and reign of the inner man, which is the kingdom of God. Please understand that because the kingdom of God is in you, your rule and reign of Christ is in you. So when temptation comes, no temptation comes, right? Are you? When temptation comes, do I rely on my resistance or do I rely on the rule and reign of the Spirit in my heart and say, no! That's not you. Do I have all my do's and don'ts because Pastor Mark preached them? Or because I read them in the Bible? Is that all my do's and don'ts? Because that reading the Bible sometimes can be external. External law put on you. But when you're doing something in life and all of a sudden there's inside you the reign of Jesus comes. Like the enemy's attacking me, and I don't know what's happening anymore. Things are going wrong. I'm calling on the reign and authority of Jesus Christ, whose kingdom I am, to be manifested from the inside of me out, and the reign of Jesus now will control my life, not the circumstances of the world. The kingdom of God is within you, who speaks a spiritual reality. We want reality. I'll tell you the reality. The reality is the Spirit of God is sitting inside me. I'm a child's king and son, and I'm a, you know, I'm a born again, spirit filled. I'll find the words yet. Amen. Everything inside of me is based on what is put by Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within speaks of the spirituality and dynamic of Holy Spirit. I hope when you talk to all of us that walk away, and my prayer is this, I know it's not always the case, but I haven't arrived yet. And when someone deals with me, they'll sense the dynamics of Holy Spirit, not the dynamics and the strategies of man. God's kingdom within a believer's life secures and fortifies the ability to live and walk in the Spirit and to be renewed in the spirit of their mind. That can be found in Ephesians 4:23. Being renewed by walking in the Spirit. How do I get renewed? Church, you got to come. And by the way, if you hear what I'm saying, churches will be full. Because you come to church for the right reason, not to get, but to give and to explain. Amen? But we need to understand, God wants, amen, for us to be renewed and to be refreshed and to grow. Are you with me? But he didn't put the church there as your soul refresher. The church is not inside you. You got to get in your car and come here to get refreshed. But when I get up in the morning and I'm down and I'm dry and I'm in the backside of the desert and I don't feel like, you know, doing anything, I feel like a metal muffin or something like that, okay? And all of a sudden, I don't want to do anything. I don't have to go to the television. I don't have to call pastor. I don't have to call my pastor. I don't have to. I just say, Holy Spirit, here's where I'm at. I need your refreshing. Having your steps ordered by the Lord, Psalms 37:23. Oh, I just wish I did the right thing. Well, stop listening to external forces and start listening to the voice that's causing, because the Bible says your steps are ordered by the Lord. Many believers are looking for external forces, almost done, to aid and provide and bring righteousness, peace, and joy, and spend time in their hearts. They're spending buku money to try to find some joy. Just if I can just have some peace. Maybe if I buy 14 albums of XYZ artists, I can finally get some peace in my spirit. No, you just spent money on 14. Because it's external. Will it make your soul feel good? Yes, and go for it. Buy your music. I love to listen to music. I listen all the time, worship music. But I don't depend on it. I don't need it to meet with God. I think one of the friends that you just met said, we got to get beyond having to have Hillsong or something like that. Bring us in the presence of God. The man he's meeting with is an awesome man of God. So many believers are looking external forces to provide righteousness, peace, and joy, and spending time and money. And however, if one would just stop for a moment and realize that what you're looking for and spending all kinds of money, the price has already been paid for you. You're wasting your money. Because my Bible says in Romans 14:17, New King James Version, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, external, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost? Can we understand that? Can we bring that into our spirit? I remember one prayer meeting, I had a person really upset with me because this person was fervently praying for joy. Lord, send joy. I mean, she was really getting into it. I sat there for about 15 minutes. I just couldn't take it anymore. I was pastor at that time, so. And I stopped the prayer meeting, and I said, stop. You are asking for something that you already have. And I gave her, I've done this several times, I gave her, ask me for my Bible. Yeah. Okay, now ask me again. No. Why? Because I already gave it to you. Why? Because I already gave it to you. I want joy. Bring me joy. No. Why? Because I already gave it to you. I want some peace. I already gave it to you. I want righteousness, right living, ordering your steps. I already gave it to you. All you got to do is listen. All you got to do is get a relationship with me inside you, Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. You all right? Likewise, many people are also looking everywhere for the power of God to come and just do its thing, Lord. Bring the dunamis. We get excited. Power of God's coming. I can just picture God something. He says, how sad. Because in 1 Corinthians 4:20, New King James Version, says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Where is the kingdom of God? Inside of us. All the power that can be released through you is sitting dormant, waiting. Just waiting for relationship with Holy Ghost. So I can move on. Doing good. One of the most sought after things, and this is my last thing. I could be here all day talking about what's on the inside, but here's the last thing. I know this is dear to Pastor Mark's heart, and not that he needs confirmation, but I just want to jump on this. Is that many people are seeking after and sought after things like rest. We hear a lot about it. Pastor Mark preaches it. One of the greatest things sought after in the world today is rest. I just need rest. I have pastors call me and just say, I just need rest. I'm going to go away for a week, 2 weeks. And that's not your pastor. I'm talking about vacation. I'm talking about something different. I just need rest. And so one of the greatest commodities is rest. People will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars, go into great length to travel miles to paradise in constant pursuit of rest. I can tell you after extended vacation, and Pastor Mark will, Missy probably witnessed to this, you need rest after your vacation of rest. After we went home from a trip, I got to rest because I'm tired. Are you with me? It never stops. It just never stops. Always going, never finding rest. What we don't realize is the power of rest is coupled, listen to me, with the presence of God. And the presence of God through Holy Spirit resides in you. The rest of the Spirit that we are talking about is that the striving and battle and working in war inside ceases and you rest in what God has done already for you. Well, what does that mean, what he's already done? He's already given you joy. He's already given you peace. He's already given you the power of Holy Ghost. He's already given you everything that you need to fulfill your destiny. The power of rest is coupled with the presence of God, and the presence of God through the Holy Ghost is sitting in you. Exodus 33:14, and it says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The difference between that scripture and the Old Testament is that the presence was upon them and gave them rest. In the New Testament, the presence is within us, giving us rest. The principle, however, is the same. The principle is, he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Everywhere you go, God's presence is with you. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is the rest? The torment of mental thinking opposed to what God has ordained. I am coming to find out that all the enemy has to do to mess you up is put a thought contrary to the will of God in your life, and then show you a circumstance that matches it. And the rest is history. We spend the next 3 weeks fighting this thing, these thought processes in our head, which have no basis of truth, is a fantasy of fiction, but yet the enemy comes and puts that seed in your spirit, and all of a sudden the rest of your soul is gone, because now we're wrestling with a perception. How many people are perceived someone said something to them and are tormented for weeks? Their rest is gone because the enemy invaded a soul that was supposed to be relying on the presence of rest inside them. Instead, the invasion came out and disrupted that. Rest from the outside means, amen, you start some music there, brother. Rest on the outside means to abide in the refreshment of the Spirit of the Lord. Stop the internal struggle, church, and abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Rest from the inside means to abide in the refreshment of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Two last scriptures, John 2:25. It says, this is the promise which he himself made to us, external life. Eternal life, I'm sorry. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides where? In you. And he, abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. This is not saying we shouldn't listen to teachings, because the Bible says that we have preachers, that's the reason. But what that is saying is that if you want to be taught, you can be taught on a daily basis by the spiritual teacher who's been placed inside you called Holy Spirit. The anointing teaches you all things. The Christo teaches you all things. You can walk your life and be taught in all things. You don't need a man's intervention. And what is taught is not a lie, but just as it has taught you, you abide in him. The last scripture I save, which is something we all need to get a hold of. 1 John 4, New King James. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God wants you to live from the inside out. All your identity crisis will go. Your worth crisis will go. I'm telling you, church, I've seen it. Allow Holy Spirit to invade your being. Trust and obey, for there is no other way.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I just want to share two things with y'all really quick. The end of worship there, I was sharing with you that I really feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, I am your answer, right? Stop looking for answers out there. I'm your answer. I had no idea what he was preaching on. We never talked. Amen. So really a confirming word, right? Right at the end of worship, just prophetically, just a confirming word to start, you know, answers are great. We all love when we're praying for something and it comes. Can I get amen right? That's awesome. But that answer will wear out, right? And then something else is going to come up we need another answer for. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord, it's he's our answer, right? Whether answers come or don't, he's our answer. Amen? And the second thing, with some friends we were visiting at the Cape Cod ministry friends, their son is a master's degree in social work. And we were eating dinner one night, and he was sharing with us that all his son does all day long is go and meet with families where that have children who are have various issues. And this pastor friend of mine said, he says, you know what, man? What the root of all this is that we've now are experiencing a generation who is raising a generation without God. He says, because you know, all my son tells these people all day long is common sense biblical principles. We are now enough God. We've kicked God out of our country enough where we've got a generation now that is raising a generation without God. And he says, you know what? They're spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that they would not have to spend one dime of that money if they had raised their children properly before the Lord. Right? Like, just raise your children in the ways that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Amen? So, Father, we just want to pray here just for a moment. Lord, we come. And, Lord, number one, help us to see what's inside of us. That was a good word. I was really ministering to my heart. Even some pastor, you said some stuff right at the end, man. It was right there. Boy, I've had a couple of weeks where just some weird thoughts come in my head, and you don't grab onto them and put them where they're supposed to go. Amen? And then, boy, it starts messing with you. Amen? And you start, all kinds of weird stuff starts going around in your head. But the Bible says, take every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Right? That is not for me, and it's definitely not from God. So that's only one other place it's coming from, and that's where it's going to go back to. Amen? And Lord, we ask that you'd help us to see that you are our answer, God. Not the answers we get, but you're the answer. That will rest in your goodness, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, we pray just for all the young folks, Lord. Help us, Lord, as parents now to raise our kids properly. No matter what the culture's doing, who cares what the school's doing? We're going to raise our kids right, and they'll be different because of your word and your spirit living in them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Guys, we have coffee and refreshments. Please stay for a little bit and hang out. We'd love for you to just chat for a little bit, and God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. Amen.